crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Welcome to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm here with my partner, Kelly Bell. And gosh, we have a fantastic show for you today. We are talking to John Scott of John Scott Productions. And if you're not exactly sure who that is, I'm sure a lot of you might have heard of it. He actually is a trainer of horses for movies. I almost want to say the trainer for horses with movies, right, Kelly?
Well, I tell you what, I've taken a look at John's resume, and it is pretty darned impressive. A lot of my favorite films are on his list. John, how in the world did you get involved in this kind of work, sir?
Well, years ago, which actually is about 50 years ago, when I was quite a bit younger, I used to rodeo a bit. And through the rodeo business, I met a lot of guys, and they came up here in 1969 to Canada to shoot part of a show called Little Big Man with Chief Dan George and Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman. Oh, my gosh, I love that movie, John. It's one of my favorites.
And, that was my first picture. I started on as a riding extra at $25 a day and thought, well, this is a lot of fun. And then I got moved up with the stunt guys, and I was getting $100 a day. And I thought, boy, this is a business. That was a lot of money in those days.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. And when the picture was over, they invited me to come to Hollywood and kind of learn the business and see what they did and everything, and I was all for that. So I went down there and fed their horses and cleaned the manure out of the trucks and stuff like that for nothing to just get on sets of Alias Smith and Jones, Big Valley, and Gunsmoke.
Oh, wow. And,
the Big Valley, dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Big Valley, I believe, at the time had Lee Majors on it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Oh, wow. Of course, I always liked Nick.
Yeah.
I think everybody
had their
favorite.
How that started. Then my grandfather farmed with horses till about 1959. He had a thrashing outfit, which took the place before combines. And so I had a lot of his wagons and harness and stuff like that. So I preserved that and started putting it together and started making a company. And because I realized that they were going to start and look at us for the wide open spaces to make Westerns. And sure enough, they did. In 1972, they came up here to a picture called Prime Cut with Gene Hackman and Lee Marvin.
Oh, wow.
And then I became a stand-in for Gene Hackman and then became his stunt double for a couple of years. And Prince of a Man, great actor. They both were fantastic actors. And I went to Jamaica and all that with Gene Hackman on a picture, and we moved around quite a bit. It was quite the time. And then after that, we did a show with Paul Newman called Buffalo Bill and the Indians, and that's what really kind of started to take our business off. And then we, through the years and the experience, I was lucky enough to be able to work on about seven Academy Award winning pictures. And they were Days of Heaven.
I did notice several of those.
Yeah, there was Days of Heaven. There was Unforgiven. And then there was Brad Pitt's picture, Legends of the Fall. And then he came back and did Jesse James. And we did Shanghai Noon. And went to New Zealand on Lord of the Rings. And a few years ago, we finished shooting The Revenant.
Wow.
And that's the story. That's kind of how it's taken place. And, of course,
so,
it was always about
I've
the horses. We had other animals involved, but it was always about the horses, getting the right horses in the right place to work at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a million questions, but I have to start with Lord of the Rings because I'm a huge fan.
What happened here is they were running three shows at once. So I was on the second...
Okay.
Unit or the second show, and okay. We'd shoot stuff for the first show and the third show, and then satellite it like 300 miles away to the director Peter Jackson, who knew everything so well.
So I have to ask, so, how many horses did you take over with you?
Oh, none.
None.
It's very hard to take horses into New Zealand because of their quarantine problems and that. Even when we went there, we had to get our saddles fumigated for 24 hours and our bridles and spurs and everything.
were you involved in selecting local horses and creating a group of
yes,
horses?
Yes, I had to get local horses. They kind of had a fallout with the rodeo crowd by the time I got there, and so they were getting a lot of weekend riders. So I had to go through the weekend riders and kind of sift them out to see what horses could run and what riders could stay on them when they're running, because we had 400 head of horses running wide open, and if a guy at the front of the line fell off, well, he'd just be run over. So we had to be pretty safety conscious about what we did. So it took about 3 days to sort out the line of horse that we had, and we had 400 to 500 head of horses, and we put them in lines of 100, and then run across the prairie with them to do what they wanted to do.
So tell me, when you were evaluating a weekend rider, what do you look for? How do you test somebody to see what sort of equestrian skill they have?
Well, you see how they put the tack on their horse to begin with, see if they do it safely. See if they do up like a throat latch on the bridle and things like that, and then see how they mount on their horse and see how they just handle their horse to start off with. And so that's how we started. And then we had to see how they handled themselves when they ran at a trot or a slow gallop, and then also make sure that the horses were healthy enough to put up with the being able to do the running.
John, we have listeners from all around the country and other countries as well, and I'm imagining they're listening right now thinking, how do I become a weekend rider? So how do people find out about positions on the movies being weekend riders?
Well, you have to find the wrangler, usually that's on the picture, and then quite often they have to ride or put together what we call background extras. Now, a background extra, he's like a guy that rides a horse down the street in the old western town, or they might be moving cattle, or they might be at a jumping horse show where they're riding jumping horses in the background. And so that's the person that does it. I kind of started this business that the wrangler had to handle the riders on the horses, because casting used to do that. And they'd take people off the street that thought they could ride a horse. They didn't know what they were doing, and they were wearing the horse out. And then, of course, all of a sudden it becomes the horse's problem. So I owned the horses, and I just wanted to make sure they worked right and they weren't worn out. So that was that's how that starts. And right now we're putting together about 4 pictures for the 1st of June up here in Canada, and I'm starting a list right now of background riders, both guys and girls and natives, and that's how we start.
And where can Kelly and I put our application in for that?
Just come to Calgary and we'll put you to work.
All right, let's take a break on that note. And John, when we come back, I want to talk to you about your ranch and really how amazing it is. You've actually created Western sets for the movie makers to come and make their movies right there on your property. Fantastic. I can't wait to talk to you more about it. We'll be right back.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around, brought to you by the Ohio Harness Horsemen Association. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I am joined by my partner, Kelly Bell, and we have an amazing guest today, John Scott. He trains horses and people for the movies, and a lot of that is done right on his ranch, the Scott Ranch. And not only is the ranch used for training, but he has actually created whole sets that represent Western towns from the 1600s, and they're very authentic looking because he really has a passion for making sure the movies are filmed and represent the correct time and place. So, John, thank you so much again for joining us. And I wanted to start with, I read that your ranch is 112 years, but three generations on this ranch?
That's right. My grandfather came over from called the Orkney Islands, which was just off of Scotland, and came here in 1904, and he homesteaded this place. And then went down the family to my uncle and my mother and that. And then my uncle passed away, and I bought it from my uncle's estate in 75. And I'm the third generation on it, and it's about 112 years old, some odd now. More than that, I guess. 1904 it was established.
Give our listeners a little visual. You have a Western set town that they can use in the movies that's on this land. And I saw a quote that said you can, within 100 miles on this property, you can have background scenery that looks like five different states or locations from around the world. It's very scenic, beautiful. You mentioned you got buffalo out there. Can you paint a picture?
Yeah, that's correct. This ranch that I'm on is a working cattle ranch, is what it is. We keep over 100 head of horses for the motion picture business, and we keep a commercial buffalo herd. And they're basically raised for meat or for cutting horse trainers to train their horses or for breeding stock. And on the ranch, we have three movie sets. Two of them were built for a remake of The Virginian, and that was with Bill Pullman and Dennis Weaver. And then we built a Western town for Tom Selleck picture called Monty Walsh. So that's what's on the ranch. But in 1975, we did a picture called Silver Streak. It's with Gene Wilder about a gentleman getting on a train with a bunch of artwork and going across Illinois and how he kept getting thrown off the train. So we duplicated, I think, seven or eight different states within a 150-mile radius of Calgary, all along railway tracks.
Oh, wow.
So that was a variety of terrain that we have here. We have level flat land that's like Kansas and Nebraska, and we have rolling hills that are like Montana and Wyoming. And we have the badlands that are like Mexico and New Mexico and things like that.
So when you were a kid, did you love watching Westerns?
Well, I did. I did. I just I loved horses, loved animals in general, and used to go see movies sometimes. Roy Rogers was kind of a hero of mine. There was Roy Rogers and Trigger and Gene Autry and Champion. And all those cowboy actors in those days, the horse was the sidekick with them. They were the associate actor with them. And that's the way they're always billed was, you know, Hopalong Cassidy and Topper and Rex Allen and Coco. And so a lot of the kids got to know the horses as well as they did the actors.
Yeah.
And I think about 1972, 74, I had a chance to double Roy Rogers, and that was one of the thrills of my life because as a kid growing up, he was such a hero. And when I met him in real life, he was no letdown. He was a real person. And a great, great family. They had about four kids of their own, I think, but they raised something like close to 20 foster kids.
Oh, wow, nice. So he was a genuine gentleman cowboy.
Yeah, he really was. And he was a good rider, too. And over his span of his career, he went through about seven or eight trigger horses. And so that was great. A guy called Glenn Randall in Hollywood, he trained all the trigger horses. He was quite a trainer.
Wow. So. Yeah, I think about Roy all the time. I got this farm dog that I've been training up for the last 3 years, and I want him to be as smart as Trigger. That's what I've always said.
Well, there's a lot of great horse trainers these days, and they do wonderful things with their horses. And every aspect of the horse business, you have to appreciate the trainer that went to work to put that horse together, whether it's a polo horse or a jumping horse or a bucking horse. They train bucking horses and things like that. The horses are magnificent animals, and there's so many different things you can do with them that it just is fantastic.
You know, you're a wrangler, you're in the movies, everybody knows that about you, but if there is one thing that you do really, really well that people in the industry would say, oh, if you need that done, you need John, how would you describe that one thing that you're most known for?
Well, I think organization of big herds of horses. On Lord of the Rings, I asked them how they got my name, and they said, well, they'd gone to the wranglers that done the biggest horse pictures there was in North America or the world at the time, and I was one of the top four, and then I got picked out of the top four. I was quite lucky. But I had done a picture about 1989 called Heaven and Earth. And it was a Japanese samurai war picture. And we went through 1,000 head of horses to get 750 in front of the camera. So that was quite a challenge. Put the horses together.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had 70 horseshoers, farriers working for about 2 weeks just putting shoes on horses. I had a sick pen, because when you mix that many horses together, you're bound to get some distemper and things like that. So I had a vet pen that they looked after any horses that were sick for a while. We get them all cured. And then I ran it kind of like an army, and it was platoons of 40. So I had a horse captain that looked after those 40 horses, and I had a wrangler, a person captain, that looked after the riders. And that was how we put all that together. And we had all these horses inside a big compound, and we'd let 40 riders in at a time. They'd go and get their horses. They'd get on them. They'd go through an outgate. At the outgate, they picked up their props. They rode down a half mile to the set, and then I had flags set up for their platoon number. And they'd stand behind their flag, and we taught them how to ride in groups of two and groups of four and groups of six. And then we'd get them all down there in about 3.5 hours. And then we start from there trying to shoot the scenes.
That is a lot of organization. Gosh.
It really was. We had two water trucks, and on the hot days, we'd go through about 20,000 gallons of water a day, and on a cool day, we'd go through about 14,000 gallons of water a day.
Now,
go ahead.
And not to mention the hay and the trailers and the trucks and the gasoline,
yeah,
and
stables,
grooms that are going to take care of these animals and
yeah,
get them in and out every day and take care of them. I mean, that's quite an operation.
And then I realized that, you know, we didn't have that many male riders to do that. I had to use a lot of the girls, and it worked out to be about half and half. So I went to the wardrobe department. I said, let's design these costumes. It's a war deal, so you can't really see their faces, see their eyes, or see their hair.
Uh-huh.
And the wardrobe girl had 200 women sitting behind sewing machines in Calgary to make 5,000 costumes. And these costumes, you couldn't tell whether it was a guy or a girl. And that's how we created our wardrobe for the riders.
And what was that movie again?
It was called Heaven and Earth.
Heaven and Earth.
It was a samurai war picture. And it's in English subtitles. It's a Japanese picture.
So that was one of the
last big saddle horse pictures that was done with full numbers of saddle horses. Since then, they went to computer graphics. And as I say, with Lord of the Rings, we had four to 500 head of horses, and they made them look like 4,500 with their technology.
Okay.
Yeah, fantastic scenes. You know, when Gandalf comes over the ridge down to Helm's Deep and all those horses come barreling down that hill, that was really great stuff. Fantastic cinema. Yeah.
Let's pause here, and when we come back, John's going to tell us what he looks for in a horse to be a good movie star.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around. Kelly, you had another question for John about when he's organizing these people and horses for a film.
Is moving people a lot like moving a herd of buffalo?
Well, yeah, they scatter pretty much the same. Buffalo are a little different to handle. They've got a mind of their own as well. If you kind of leave them alone, they're pretty good. But when you get them confined, you've got to have good facilities to handle them so they don't get hurt themselves and they don't hurt anybody. But a lot of the cows, when they get mad and they get red, their tail goes up and then their head goes down a bit and then their eyes turn red and then they'll run right over top of a car or truck to get away from you or get somewhere.
Oh, geez. So what do you look for when you're picking a horse to train for the movies?
A motion picture horse has to stand so long, roughly 8 to 10 hours a day. And they usually have to stand still so an actor can give his dialogue off the horse. If the horse moves around a bit, then pretty soon the actor says, well, I can't remember my lines because the horse is moving around. So I find that horses got a touch of cold blood in them, such as a Percheron or a Belgian cross, roughly, say, about an eighth Belgian or Percheron and the other... 6 or 7/8 of quarter horse makes an ideal cross.
I've heard a lot about the cold bloods being really good at, learning to stand and be patient.
See, like a thoroughbred horse for a movie set is really no good. There's great thoroughbred horses, don't get me wrong. But to be able to stand and have the patience and be able to put up with fire and smoke and gunfire and cables and things like that, a thoroughbred horse is made to run. And I just need the opposite. I need a lazy horse that wants to kind of stand there a bit and let the actor do what he's got to do. And then if we're doing running scenes, I get a double for that horse. And the stunt man or the stunt double, they ride that horse and through the fire or whatever it has to be done.
That's fascinating. See. Have you ever worked with the standard bred?
Standardbreds, yes. We did do some work with standardbreds on a track. It was kind of a harness racing picture, and they're very interesting, and they've got their qualifications and their highlights as well.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a little bit of best and worst, John? Tell us a couple of stories of maybe one of your best memories working on a job. And maybe one of the worst ones, or the craziest thing that might have happened. I mean, you've got to have some huge highlights in your 50-year career.
Well, yeah, I can think of some good ones. We taught Brad Pitt how to ride, and he was fantastic. He wanted to do everything perfect and have it look good, and he worked at it so hard. Jackie Chan also worked very hard.
I love Jackie Chan.
But those guys were professionals. They just wanted everything done perfect. But Brad Pitt had to ride a horse up to a bear, and then we kind of had to have the horse blow back a bit, and then Brad Pitt falls off, and he's kind of on the ground. Then he starts to fight with the bear. That's at the end of Legends of the Fall. We got Doug Seuss doubling Brad Pitt to ride the horse up there. So I had to fill the horse's nostrils with Vaseline to try and block the scent of the bear so we'd get him close enough.
Okay.
And then I kind of had him come around a corner, so he was going to be surprised when he saw the bear standing there on his hind legs. And that's how we did it. And the horse came around the corner, then, woo, he puts the brakes on, and then he jumps up a bit. Doug's hoose fell off onto the ground, and then Bart goes after him, and the fight starts. So that was how that came together very good. Looked good, looked believable, and it was good for horse, bear, and riders.
John, I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your time. And we have a lot more to talk to you about because you have such a wonderful body of work that you have done. And I want to tell our listeners that we will be doing segments over the next month from this interview that we couldn't fit in this half hour. So you'll hear more of his anecdotes about different stars he's worked with and some of the best horses that he's worked with. So there's more to come. Thanks for joining us on Horsin' Around.